Welcome to another message of hope from Gateway Family Church. For more information or to contact us, please visit gateway.asn.au.
Well, good morning, peeps. Good morning, everyone. How are we? Can we just encourage our drama team again? They were on point this morning. My name is Bethany, and we are in the middle of our Life on Mission series, and it's all about helping us find God's heart for our world. And I don't know about you, but I have been so challenged every single week by the messages. And if you haven't been here to hear Mark and Sally, I recommend you get that on podcast because they were so good. But this morning we're focusing on share. Once we've connected with people, once we've served people, the importance of sharing our stories. And I'm a sucker for a good story. I love a good story time session. And I think that's why I love Baptism Sunday so much. Yeah, because we get to hear so many stories. The stories that God is writing in the hearts and lives of those that love Him. Stories of Him bringing people home. And I'm reminded that that's the whole story of the Bible. God pursuing us. God's love for us. Story is powerful. And it's also moving. And some more moving than others. I remember watching this film a long time ago. It was a really sad film. And I'm ashamed to admit it was a Mandy Moore film. Showing my age there. But it was so sad. For 2 weeks, I was done after watching that film. 2 weeks, I was devastated. Every time you know the one, Laura. Every time I remembered the story, I'd be like, stop crying. You're meant to be worship leading. Pull it together. But stories are moving, and there's also memory and nostalgia attached to stories, isn't there? Like gathering around the fireplace to tell stories. I last week tagged my brother in this Facebook post that was on this classic 90s film that we grew up watching together. I was like, oh, remember this. Much to my heartache, he wrote back, no. I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. I don't think I've even seen this movie. And my heart was like, gah. How can you not remember the hours spent wasted watching that film? It was a terrible film. But that's not the point. The point is we all have stories from our childhood. All have things that we loved watching, loved hearing about. Turn to the people around you and share a story from your childhood or growing up that you loved. It could have been a book or a movie, anything. Come up. Yeah, come on. Sit, yeah, please. I mean,
sorry, is that what that cue was?
So lame. I think so many stories. Hopefully not so many as obscure as mine was, but are we retelling the whole story here? Is that what's going on? I think the love for story actually runs in my blood. If you know my dad, he is obsessed with the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Yeah, I'm not kidding. I think we're up to the third or fourth box set. He's worn through the CDs. I'm not even lying. But stories are powerful, but they're powerful when they're told. When they're heard. And that's why it's such an important part of our journey of faith to learn that we need to share our stories because we each have a story. But that can sound intimidating, can't it? Like, all of us, I need a story? Like, novel worthy? How many pages are we talking here? And I know I've thought that way, so I thought I'd just have some friends come and have a chat with us this morning. You guys can take this down if you like. About their stories and hopefully just help us calm down and just take the pressure off what sharing our stories looks like. So if you're here for the first time this morning, or maybe you've been here for ages, or you're listening in on the podcast, our hope is that from hearing stories this morning, you get to know Jesus a little bit better, that you realize that you have a story, that we all have a story worth sharing. So I'm just going to introduce our crew here, very loved Gatorites that are very brave coming sharing with us this morning. We have Paul Dennis. Paul and his wife Steph have been at Gateway for how long now?
I don't know entirely how long Steph's been around, but 16, 17 years together, yeah.
Paul and Steph head up our young adults ministry together with an awesome team. And they've got the two cutest kids, Daisy and Roman. So let's welcome Paul. And we have Tina Silk. Tina and her husband Kevin have recently become partners at Gateway. Claps. Welcome to the family. And so you've recently moved to Australia with your family. Where were you from originally?
From England in the Midlands, so near Birmingham.
That's why you have a delicious accent. Yeah. And Tina's on our worship team. And then we've got Dave Duffus on the end here. Also known as Davey D or Duffman. And you'll see him in our worship team playing sax like a boss. And how long have you been at Gateway for, Dave?
About 16, 17 years, I think.
You! Amazing. So we just wanted to bring them up here and give them a chance to share their story. But before we did, I wanted to ask the hard-hitting questions. Are you okay with this morning? I want to ask what the people are wanting. So I'm going to throw you each a hypothetical, like a what would you rather type thing, and you just have to throw back the one option you'd prefer. You ready? Tina, stand-up paddleboarding or nabbing a sail?
Paddleboarding.
Good. Oh, really? Great. Awesome. Dave, musically, Prince or Michael Jackson? Yes, I asked the hard questions.
Too soon.
Can I have both?
No. Too slow. Both. Great. Paul, gathering with friends or Netflix and chill? Watching TV and hanging out.
Is there food with the friends?
Yes.
Friends.
Okay, great. All right, now I'm going to throw it to all of you and you all have to just shoot back this answer. The same question for you all. I'm going to count down from three and you've got to give me your answer. You ready? Coffee or Jesus?
Coffee.
Jock. It's a trick. It's a trick. Don't go for it. It's a
trick.
The
answer's always Jesus, isn't it?
Yeah. We've got a real answer and a Jesus answer. That's great. But at Gateway, you get both, so it's awesome. So we want to take some time to just share stories this morning. And Paul, you and I have been friends for a really long time, and we've chatted many times with my husband Ricky and your wife Steph about the story about how you came to know Jesus. And it's always so powerful when I hear this because it's so different from mine. Like, I grew up in a Christian home. I feel like I've known Jesus my whole life. But your story is a bit different to that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I thought recently about the beautiful loop that God has created in my life where now I get to spend so much time with young adults because I started there. I came along to Gateway with a friend in 2000 or 2001, end of 2000. And one thing led to another. I was pretty sure I knew it all and so was going along to a life group to kind of argue. I thought that'd be a great place to help people understand what they were doing wrong. And they were patient enough to just bear with me and to answer my questions and to love me anyway.
So a life group is just hanging out at someone's house.
Yeah, totally. So a life group, yeah, is friends gathering.
Yeah.
There is food.
Yes.
No Netflix. And we went away on a weekend together. I went because it was cheap and it looked like it was going to be heaps of fun. And on that weekend, I'd been reading the Bible a lot because that's, I kind of like doing the upstairs stuff. I really like to think through things. And my friend Rob Lamb, who I'd gained immense trust for within those months leading up, asked if we would like to leave it at Lawn. So anything that was sort of holding us back in our life or we felt, you know, a bit rubbish about, do you want to just write it on a piece of paper? We can pray about it and put it in the fire. And I and I wasn't at that stage because my intellectual process had not managed to break through that some stuff intellectually. And so I said, I'm just going to sit here and pray that God will give me more time to understand Him. See how flawed that is? I'm gonna get to a point where I know God totally, and then I can have faith in Him. And so I prayed that, and then in response to my respect for Rob, I believe I asked if he would meet with me after, so I could say to him, I didn't put my hand up, didn't want to make a big deal because I'm still thinking about stuff. And he said, "But what did you do? You put your paper in the fire." And I prayed to God that He would give me more time to believe in Him. So He calmly explained to me that I just made an expression of faith by praying to somebody who I apparently didn't believe in. And said, that's all there
Robbie.
Is to it, that you now have faith in Jesus. And my whole world, like I have one of these black and white things. So I'm on the black chair. There are other white chairs. Everyone else's is white. Mine's black. Something symbolic. I had one of those, the curtain split, like, old life ended, new life began. Bang. And I remember waking up the next morning and looking out at the sky like I'd never seen it before.
Wow.
And it was like the world was full of colour, and there is a fire and a passion inside my bones that God lit. And sometimes the heat of that fire wavers, but that has never changed since. So that's kind of what happened for me. It's dramatic for me.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me share that.
And I just love how every time you share that story, Paul, it's like you're back there. It's like you're back exactly where God met you. That passion and that emotion is still there in it.
He takes me there every time. Thank
wow.
you.
And so one thing I love about this book that this series is based off, the Life on Mission book by Tim Harlow, it kind of squashes some myths about what story looks like. See, because I feel like I've known Jesus my whole life, we're kind of taught sometimes to share what Paul did, share the before and the after moment. And that is so powerful. But for someone like me who didn't have a defining meet Jesus moment, I feel like that's maybe not as relevant for me. It's like, oh, before Jesus, I remember nappies. and I know, Tina, you have a similar feel to that as well. So when people ask you about your faith, what do you share?
Well, I had the classic growing up as a kid in church, so I felt like I knew who Jesus was. I knew that Jesus loved me very much. I believed in God. You know, all the stories that kids grow up learning in Sunday school was just kind of spoon-fed to me, and I accepted it because I did believe it. You know, as a small child, you can be told things, and if you trust the person, then you tend to believe what they say. So, so I grew up knowing Jesus, and I think I gave my heart to Jesus, as it is, at the age of 8, and I was baptized at the age of 16. But my story is more of a prodigal child story. So I grew up knowing Jesus and accepted things at kind of face value, knew that Jesus loved me, could never deny that. But probably as I went into secondary school and onwards, I kind of wanted to investigate life for myself and kind of basically went off the rails big time. And thanks to the grace of God, He protected me from things that I could have got myself into some serious trouble with. And the turnaround came really when I sat at an Easter Sunday service. I sat through it, kind of endured it, and sat with my parents and then was driving to my then non-Christian boyfriend's house. And on the way, it was probably about 10 kilometers journey, I just really felt Jesus say, enough's enough. Enough's enough, it's time to come back.
Wow.
And it was like, okay. So when I went and told my non-Christian boyfriends that I was a Christian, actually. He didn't know that.
Wow.
And yes, I'm not proud. And I couldn't be with him anymore. He thought I was insane. Their relationship ended, clearly. And then from then, it was a real struggle and a real battle with God. But all along, I knew that Jesus had me. I firmly believe once saved, always saved, and God will never let you go. God he will always seek you out. So, yeah, so I kind of, if somebody specifically asks me, what's your story, that's the story I tell.
Wow. And I love how you shared earlier in the week that you can doubt your story sometimes and feel like, what do I have to share? But you said to me that no one can deny your story.
Yeah.
No one can deny your experience. And so when people talk to you now about what God is doing now and you shared a story about what you share more recently with what God's doing in your life.
Like right now, why we moved here.
Mm.
So I've got two children. I've got Daniel and Eleanor, and Eleanor's in grade two, so I've got quite a lot of new school mums, which is amazing. Thank God for my children, because I don't think I'd have many friends if it wasn't for my kids. don't do that.
Bless the children.
So, yes, I'm standing, you know, waiting for the kids to go into school, and people can clearly tell that I'm not from Australia. And they say, so, what brings you to Australia? And I go, God. But yeah, it's quite easy to then tell our story, because it was obviously God that has brought us here. So Kevin and I have always kind of had a bit of a thing about Australia, and we've always, I've been a couple of times to visit, and we've been together, and we could never let it go. And one weekend I was at a women's weekend, and there was a woman giving prophetic words about forgotten dreams and saying, you know, God's not going to let you forget your dreams and this kind of thing. And she said, and I've just got this one word, and it's Australia. And I was just like, okay. So Kevin and I just went, all right, God, if this is of you, we will push the doors, and if you want them opened, then open them.
Mm.
And 18 wow. months, 2 years later, we're here. And like when we miss home and we doubt that, you know, what are we doing here? This is crazy people leaving everything and coming
people?
Here. It God just says, well, I told you to. And it's like, okay, that's
wow.
nice and simple. So, yeah, so when people say to me, what brings you to Australia? I can't deny that story
wow.
because it's that's what happened.
It's great. Great, yeah. One of the things I love about God is that he's always up to something. That it's a journey with him, that we are constantly walking with him, and it's not a matter of you met Jesus, boom, full stop, that's the end of your story. He's never done. And as a result of that, over our life, we may have hundreds of stories that we tell about what God's doing in our lives. And so, Dave, what do you share when your musician mates ask you about life and faith?
Yeah, well, look, I have a similar story to yours, Tina. You know, as a cute little seven-year-old, I came to know Jesus through Sunday school, and then as a teenager, through a chronic illness, I came to know Jesus in a more dramatic, personal way. But 6 years ago, my marriage failed in a spectacular way, and my family just imploded, And I hate that part of my story, to be honest with you. But it's like since then, I have a pet elephant, and
I love that
I tried. His name is Dumbo, and I wish he'd grow ears and fly away. But I can't sweep him under the
wow.
under the welcome mat. And so when I'm having a conversation with someone, they say, "Well, so I see you've got a pet elephant there." You know, it can't be avoided. It's part. It is part of my story. And like it or not, when you go through something like that, it to a certain degree it sticks to you and defines how people see you. We live in a Facebook, Twitter age, where too often we form an opinion based upon a headline, not based upon the truths that are embedded in the body of the story.
Yeah.
And for me. For me, when I have a conversation, especially with my muso mates, we're sitting at the table and we're chilling out, eating our meals and
Netflix and chill.
So the fact of the matter is, a lot of the time it's so, what's the next chapter of your book, Duffus? Because they want to know all about it. And it works a lot better for me if I'm just completely transparent about that.
Mm.
And that then is a matter of not just me getting to know them, but I need to allow them to get to know me.
Yeah.
Because the elephant is in the way and it keeps popping his trunk up and asking for a bloody peanut all the time, you know? and you can't sweep it away. So for me, it's about, I have a more powerful testimony these days about being able to carry Jesus' peace with me in the midst of the storms of
wow.
life. And they can relate to that.
Wow.
So those childhood testimonies and those other things for me kind of become irrelevant, and it's more the story of what Jesus is doing in me today.
Wow.
That is...
That's great. The thing. Yeah. And you can just see all the different colours of the different stories of the people sitting here, let alone a room full of hundreds of people. And I love how you said about what God's doing now, that the book talks about that. He says to lean on the common ground of shared experience. You know, we can all relate to stress and pain and loss. So what is God doing in that for you? And how can you chat through that? And I love this verse. It's Psalm 66:16. He says, let me tell you what he has done for me. It's just, let me tell you what he's done for me. And have you guys got any examples of times, like specific examples of times where you did share a bit of your story and how that went?
Totally. Do you want the glorious ones that make me look good or the idiot ones where what the hell are you thinking?
You pick.
Let's start with the fun one. So the first one I can think of, the Bible teaches us that we should always be prepared to give an answer when we're asked. So if you go and bash someone over the head with it when they're not asking, it's probably not God's idea of a good plan. And so I got back from this weekend that I just spoke of a moment ago. And in fact, went straight to gym with my mate, who we've been training together for years. And as soon as he was still and in a very compromised state and couldn't get out from under a bench press, I told him that he needed Jesus and how much better his life would be. And that pretty much ruined our friendship for a while. I'm happy to say that our friendship genuinely and sincerely recovered from that. But I think I put it at risk because I shared my story with absolutely no concern for his agenda and without waiting for him to ask anything.
Wow.
So that was dangerous and stupid.
So you had this dramatic, life-changing experience of meeting Jesus, and you just couldn't help. I remember you telling me a story about how, like, you just couldn't help but share it. You were like, what are you guys doing with this Jesus thing? Why aren't you telling people?
Yeah, totally. I think my motivation was great, and let me tell you what he's done for me, but why don't I tell you when you're ready to hear it or when you ask? And so I learned that lesson. I'm really thankful that it happened with this particular friend because he was gracious enough to let me endure it through that and grow and mature a bit. And we survived it. But at the same time, I think I learned God taught me a very beautiful and powerful lesson early on so that he could use me in a more effective way later on, which is, you know, there are other stories, but that's a good one.
So don't do that. So what sort of mistakes, obviously a lack of understanding where people are at, lack of sensitivity, but what sort of mistakes do we think that we can make in trying to share our story? I know you had one you were telling me about, Dave.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I have an opening, and what I go and do then is I serve them up a 3-course meal when all they wanted was a snack. And I just go on and 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 on. And on.
Yep. Great. And on. Any other thoughts or mistakes?
I think it doesn't happen very often for me because I am such a chicken. I just back away from it constantly. I think I'm up here as to tell you what not to do when sharing.
We're all learning.
No, it's just certainly not expertise. But I think when I have done, I kind of share it from my heart, and sometimes I'm a little bit too humble and I don't give God enough glory and I don't tell them quite how amazing Jesus has been. So I tell my story, but I just don't emphasize Jesus enough. I think that's the mistake I make. I shy away more because he has transformed my life completely and utterly. I love him so much, and I wish I could just say that to somebody, but it's just a bit awkward, and I'm very British. So it's, very British problems. You just talk like this. So yeah, I think that's the mistakes that I've made. I have done it, and I have, like, on a one-to-one over coffee, I've kind of gone, oh yeah, well my story is this, and people have accepted it, but I just haven't gone that extra mile of giving Jesus the glory of the story. Like, they know it's to do with Jesus, but I haven't emphasized him enough, I think.
That's good.
And I'd sort of add to that, I think I have matured, or I'm hopefully maturing through this, but less about execution, more about motivation. At times in my life, I'm being completely raw in front of hundreds of people. I've considered the telling of to be something of a meritorious act. Like, if I get this right, God's going to be pumped with me. Like, if he loves me already, imagine how much he'll love me if I do a really good job of do you know what I'm trying to say? Of being a Christian. If I'm a really good Christian, he'll love me even more. And then you, over time, you figure out that he stays just the same. And, the telling of, although it is from his heart that we share, won't change his perspective on us.
No, that's
positively
good.
Or negatively.
That's great.
Does that make sense?
No, very much so. So we all have a story, as unique as they are. So why do you think that sometimes we don't share them?
Fear. I think is my big one. Fear and a mixture of pride. Like, if I get it wrong, I'm going to look really stupid. And if I don't have the answers, that's one of the ones, actually. If they ask me something and I don't know the answer, I'm not really doing God much justice, because I'll just go, oh, I don't know. I mean, I guess you can always say, oh, I don't know, but let me go back and think about it and I'll come back to you. Because, you know, they've obviously asked you for a reason. You know, the big one is, well, if God's so loving, why does he let the world suffer? Yeah. I don't know. I'm, but you can go back and you can pray about it and you can think about that person and think about why they're asking that question, I guess, and go and then and say, look, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. I know that God does love you, but I'll go away and pray about it and come back. And I've never done that. Just kind of taught myself something there. So.
And what I love about that too, seriously, speak it out. But what I love is that I think that's a similar thing for me. I can worry about not knowing what to say, but there's some great verses that God gives us with this. In Matthew, he says, do not worry about what to say. And then also in Exodus, he also says, I will be with you as you speak. And I think that's so important to know that the Holy Spirit is with us. We're not on our own. We're not just left out there. And we can go take time with our answers too. So there's some fear. There's some worldly pride stuff there. What do you think of busyness when it comes to not sharing our story?
I think it sucks.
The end.
Do you mean how can that be a distraction for or
do you think that we get too busy?
Yeah, totally. For me, to take that to a more personal level, busyness makes me angry and tired and less giving and less aware entirely of other people, not only to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, but just in my general awareness of the needs of others. So busyness is something I need to create a rhythm around. I want and need to be productive in my family and in my work and in my ministry. But if I'm not rested, busyness ends up, I operate out of burnout and I'm operating out of selfishness when I do that.
We don't hear the promptings of God. There's little interruptions where he's trying to get us to notice an opening or an in. So that's good. Any other final thoughts on sharing our story and anything that might help people with that?
For me, sometimes I struggle with what I feel is my own lack of credibility to be able to share in certain areas. One of my best friends, who we do an awful lot of sharing and things are travelling really, really well in that journey, but he's doing life so well as a husband and a father and raising his kids and all those things. And my family's practically a diaspora spread all over the place, you know. And so sometimes I feel, I don't have a right to share, but he wants to know more. And so if I don't speak into his life, he pursues me, and lately he's been bugging me, Dave, I've been watching this series on Netflix, that thing called AD or whatever it is, and I've been watching it all. And he wants to ask more questions about all those sorts of things. So at the end of the day, I think once a person knows you, it blows that away.
That's so good. Mark brought up that verse when he spoke about keep open house, be generous with your lives. It's about relationship and just getting to know people and not necessarily just to earn points so that we can then put our little 2 cents in there. It's we get to know people so that they can get to know us. And when Jesus speaks into our life, he knows us so well. That's why it's always pinpoint. It's always so true. So relationship is a huge part of that. And guys, I just want to thank you so much for being so honest this morning and brave. And as you said, none of us up here is experts. We're just learning as we go, but we appreciate you learning in front of us so publicly this morning. So let's give them a hand, guys. Thanks, guys. I just wanted to quickly end this morning by looking at a woman who had a powerful story. A woman who had a life-changing encounter with Jesus, and she just simply shared that experience, and as a result of that, many lives were changed. It's in John 4 if you want to follow along, but basically after lots of travel, it was a hot day, Jesus was exhausted, he sat down by a well, and he sent his 12 disciples off to go get a cheeky Nando's or something, whatever they ate in those days. And at noon, a Samaritan woman came up to draw water from the well, and he asks her for a drink, and they start this conversation. And this conversation completely changed this woman's life. Just the fact that Jesus was there sitting with her was completely radical for her day, and she knew it. You know, Jesus was breaking all the rules. He broke through racial barriers. See, it was known that Samaritans and Jews not get along, not Facebook friends. And he broke through gender barriers. So men, especially teachers, would not be seen speaking to women in public at all. And he broke through social barriers. See, this woman was a Samaritan and she was an outcast. She collected the water at 12 in the day, and that can seem like a throwaway line, but if you look at the day, the women used to collect water in the morning. Why? Because it was cooler in the morning, and also because then you'd have the water for the whole day's tasks. And it was the social highlight of the day. Yet here she was at 12 on her own collecting water. She was a social outcast. And Jesus broke through racial, gender, and social barriers just to be here with her in this moment. And they have a conversation, and Jesus says to her, "Go call your husband and come back." Verse 17, "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had 5 husbands, and the man that you are with now is not your husband." See, the truth is she was living with a man who wasn't her husband, and she was like, "What? Who is this man that he knows this about me? How does this guy know this stuff?" Because I reckon up until this point, she was probably like, "Oh, this is a lovely conversation. He's such a kind person. He's unlike anyone I've ever met before. Thank goodness he doesn't know who I really am. Or he wouldn't be speaking to me. Lucky he doesn't know about my life." But Jesus reveals to her that he did know about her life. He knew her. He saw her. He saw her sin. He saw it all. She was fully known and fully loved. He saw it all and still cared for her, still broke through every single barrier to be with her. And she'd never experienced anything like that. Totally exposed and totally loved. Radical. And Jesus goes on to explain that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. And her response is where it gets really powerful. It says she immediately leaves her water jar. She stops what she's doing, drops her task. Talk about interruptions. She leaves her jar by the well, goes back to the town, and she says to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Continue on 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and because of his words, many more became believers. I love this. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. We have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Many in that town became believers that day because of her testimony. What was it about that testimony? Why was it so powerful? Just a few quick thoughts that are on your outline. First, fill in. It was effective because it was transparent. It was real. All she really said was, this is what's happened to me. She was honest. That's disarming. And like Tina said, no one can deny you your story. So our stories are powerful when they're real, when they're just from our perspective, and when they're transparent. Secondly, it was effective because it was simple. I love it. In verse 29, it says that she goes to the town and she says to the people, come and see a man. That's it. Come and see a man. She was basically just inviting people to come and meet Jesus. Know Jesus. See Jesus. It's not, oh, this is how you become a Christian and this is all the stuff that you have to do and these are five steps of faith. It's just come and meet a man. Come and know him. And we can share our faith effectively when we just introduce people to the person behind our story. We point them to him and he does the rest. So simple. It was simple, it was transparent, and the last feeling it was brave.
Is that work? We working? Thank you, tech team. It doesn't say that she went to the town and preached to strangers, come, meet a man. She didn't just grab randoms on the street and heckle them. It says that she went to the town. She went to her town, the town where she was known and rejected, where she was an outcast. That's the environment she told her story. Brave. And that could have made it worse for her. They could have been like, why would we believe the woman living in sin? Another thing that shows me just how brave she was four simple words. All I ever did. Come and see a man who told me all I ever did. How brave to go back to the place where you are a social outcast and highlight all you've ever done and highlight your sin. She was basically going, come, meet this guy who told me about how I'm sleeping with this other guy. Come, meet this man who told me about my alcoholism. Who taught me about my anger issues and how I'm taking it out on my family. Who told me about how I gossip all the time. All I ever did, he saw her shame and her deepest insecurities. And church, it was brave because she let her love for Jesus overshadow her desire for people to forget her sin. It was brave because she let her love for Jesus overshadow her desire for people to forget her sin, to forget her past. Her encounter with grace was so compelling, so moving that she could not help but share, regardless of the cost. And this morning, church, from hearing this story, some of us need to be reminded or know for the first time that we have a story worth sharing. We have one. Doesn't matter how it reads or how it sounds, we all have a story. And some of us this morning need to be open to the gentle prompts and nudges of God of where he's telling us to talk to that person or invite that person into our home. To just say, God, where are you already at work in people's lives? Because God is the God on mission. He's already at work. Where can we partner with you, God, and with what you're already doing? That just takes the pressure off. He's already at work. And some of us this morning need to get a revelation of the radical love and grace of Jesus, whether for the first time or for the 50th time. A grace that breaks through every single barrier just to be with us. That we are fully known and fully loved. A grace that covers all our shame, that covers our sin, that covers our past. And worship team, I'll get you to come up now. Because when we have a revelation of that, when we know that, out of that place, how can we not be compelled to share? How can we not be brave? Church, I'm just going to pray for us. Let's just talk to God as we finish up. Lord, I thank you so much that we all have a story. Because of the great story of your love for us, we all have something worth sharing, something you want us to use to further your kingdom, to bring you glory. God, we recognize that this morning. We have something to share. And God, I just pray right now that you would give us a revelation of your love and grace again, God. Father, that love that just sits with us and talks to us and loves us and calls us worthy. Father, I just pray right now that we get an understanding of your love again, Lord. And Lord, perfect love drives out all fear. So from that love, from that place, I just pray that you just put a boldness on us this morning, God. A bravery of the Samaritan woman, Father, where we know who we are, who we are in you. And Lord, that we can share who we are fully with our world around us, with the people around us, God. God, make us brave. And Father, may we be a church that so simply points people to you, that they say, I now no longer believe just because of what Gateway said, but I have heard for myself and I know that he is a savior of the world. That's our prayer this morning, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Gateway Family Church. We hope you join us again for another great message next week. For more information or to contact us, head to gateway.asn.au.